And welcome to another edition of Monday Film Sports Line on WMIC AM 660. And actually, that's off air right now. It'd be 95.3 FM WMIC. We're also streaming online at sanlacbroadcasting.com. Click the Listen Live link on our website at sanlacbroadcasting.com. And of course, for any replays, podcasts of Sports Line shows, and even our high school football game coverage of sports this year, you can go to our podcast link on our website at sanlacbroadcasting.com. Click that. I've already uploaded pretty much all the games, if not all of them, and I think I have. And then, of course, the Listen Live link there to listen to us streaming live. Of course, there's a delay when you listen to the stream. And for the latest sports high school football scores, you can go to our sports section on the daily news section of our website at sanlacbroadcasting.com. Trying to keep up with the high school football playoffs with the MHSAA. Still a lot of coverage area teams that made it through the second round of the playoffs. And I'll give you those scores right now. In our eight-player football Division I, we had two eight-player football games of coverage. Those are our coverage area teams left in our Sanlac Broadcasting coverage area, plus other teams that we may further down the road throw on the radio, if possible. Division I eight-player football, our game of the night on a Friday night, it was the Kingston Cardinals defeating Brown City 26-0 with that final score on that one. Great win for Kingston. I guess you could say shocking. A lot of folks in the North Central Thumb League and even the fans across the area with a dominating performance with a ground game from the Kingston Cardinals. We'll talk about that also. And Division II on a Saturday afternoon, a big shout out to Mikey Smith, first of all, for the Friday night game coverage and throughout the whole season, working with Sanlac Broadcasting and WBGV 92.5 FM. Our high school football games, otherwise noted, will be always on 92.5 WBGV, Thumbs Home for Country, and also streaming online, so make a note of that. Division 2 on a Saturday afternoon, 8-player football, Region 3 championship game. They pulled off a big one. The Deckerville Eagles over the Portland St. Patrick Shamrocks, 34-32. And that was Jonathan Bisher from Thumb Targeted Sports doing that game with me. And, man, what a great win there. And they move on to the state semifinals also, as well as Kingston moving on to the state semifinals. Kingston having a home game against Martin, last year's state semifinalists in Division I against Brown City, if you recall, who ended up winning the state title last year. This time, Deckerville Eagles going up against Adrian Linway Christian on the road on a Saturday afternoon. We'll have that game live on WBGV 92.5 FM. 11 football scores in our coverage area teams. It was Division 6, Region 4, District 1 championship game. The Elmont Raiders finding a way to win in overtime over Warren Michigan Collegiate, 40-38, and one overtime. That was on Thumb Targeter Sports. Phil Nickel and John Kruger covering that game. Or Crazier, right? Yeah, Crazier. I got to make sure. It's different in Huron County, Sanlac County, or Tuscola County. Also, Division 7, Region 3, District 2 championship game. Millington defeating Cass City 21-20, a thrilling end to that game also. And in Division 8, Region 2, District 2, it was the district championship game with the Ubley Bearcats rematch against Ubley, but Ubley still picking up where they left off when they last met. 35-14 was the final score in that one. Joining me is the actual host of Thumb Sports Line, Mike Gallagher. I got to make sure I am... Have you turned on? How you doing, man?
I'm doing good.
How are you, buddy? Got you on for once.
You got me on. Nice. Nice work.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. Doing
great.
Good.
Just walking in, getting paper done, or you still got to work on it?
We're all wrapped up for the night.
Wow. So, we rolled together.
Mm-hmm.
You hitched a ride with me and Jonathan, and we also had Ben Miller of us.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Lots of people covering the game down there on Saturday. It was a lot of fun. It was, great afternoon. Great time spending 6 hours in the car with you guys.
Well, I had fun just listening to Ben Miller's just out of the blue one-liner zingers.
Yes, yes.
And we just saw another new report about the Michigan controversy there, football.
I can't even keep up with it anymore.
Boy, and I will quote Ben Miller. I said, do you think Michigan is corrupt? He goes, I think the NCAA is corrupt.
Yeah.
Yep. It's not Michigan.
Yeah.
He does, don't he? Yeah.
Yes, he does.
Thanks to me.
Mm, I don't know about that.
Huh? It's because I don't like everybody in the face of the earth.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, well.
I mean, the guy probably can't sleep. Ding, 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 ding. Social media going off. Ding, ding.
Yeah, he has become quite popular on Facebook.
Probably ain't getting sleep. Yeah. Probably ain't getting sleep. All right, what'd you think? I mean, what was a really quick comment here? Most surprising win in our coverage area?
Oh, man. I don't know that any of the wins were necessarily surprising. I think the way that, you know, the wins came about were a little bit surprising. I don't think anybody was giving Cass City much of a chance against Millington.
One point loss.
I don't think you can say you're surprised that Kingston beat Brown City. I am a little bit surprised in the way that they did beat Brown City.
Yes, because
that was a pretty dominant performance from Kingston, 26-0 shutout.
Yeah,
and that's a Kingston team that looks completely different than the Kingston team that we saw earlier in the season
by right.
Brown City.
Yeah.
But again, I don't think it's necessarily surprising that Kingston won. I just think it's a little bit surprising the way they did it. Deckerville, Portland, St. Patrick, that was one. That was the one I kind of didn't really know how to feel going into that. I think we both
mentioned that they have a chance.
I thought Deckerville had a chance. The big question mark is we don't know anything about Portland St. Patrick, so you really don't know until you get down there and the game starts. And, you know, right off the bat, it looked like Deckerville was going to be in some trouble, you know, going down 7-0. But that was just, a great performance from Deckerville. You know, that's 2 weeks in a row they come away with a one-score win in the playoffs. And, at this point in the season, it doesn't matter how you do it as long as you get the win.
Yeah, coming up with some big defensive plays was key in that game also. So
yeah, absolutely.
Saw some great defense there. All right, folks, we're going to take a break and come back. We do want to talk about the high school volleyball playoffs that are restarting tomorrow in the regional semifinals. We'll come out and come back on that, and we'll come back about cross-country. Then we'll dive right into high school football. How about that?
Sounds good.
All right, we'll do that, folks. We'll be right back here on a Monday Thumb Sports Line. I'm Eddie Fury. That's Mike Gallagher. We'll be right back.
Hello, Mark McGarry here for more Motor Sales in Caro. It's that time of year. The kids are back to school, and the days are getting shorter. Pretty soon, it will be hunting season, and what better way to start off the season but with a brand-new F-150 or Ram truck from More Motor Sales in Caro. We have the best selection of new F-150s, Super Duties, new Ram trucks combined at one location. Hurry in today for your best selection. That's More Motor Sales just west of Caro and M81. Come see why your friends and neighbors are driving to Caro.
Hi, this is Steve Kohler with Kohler's Propane. We've had a great summer, and I would like to thank the many volunteers who work so hard to make our area festivals and the Sanlac County 4-H Fair a big success. Now that fall is here and the children are back in school, be sure to drive safely and watch for the youngsters as they walk to and from school. There's no question about it, it's getting colder and the furnace is clicking on during the night. And if you are a customer of Kohler's Propane, you don't have to worry about whether the furnace will click on. We've got you covered with Keep Full Delivery, our price cap programs, and our guaranteed price for one full year. If you are not a current Kohler's customer, now is the time to make sure you stay warm this winter. Contact Kohler's Propane, a locally owned company serving you for 74 years. Call 800-572-2191 or visit getkohlers.com. Remember, nobody gives you gas like Kohler's.
This is Tanya Rubin, sales executive at Thumb Cellular. If you're thinking of switching mobile phone carriers, consider Thumb Cellular. Now is the time to get the tailored service you need from the local company you can trust. Unlike the other carriers, we like to build lasting relationships with our customers. I will work with your busy schedule to meet and discuss how we can best serve you. As the only local cellular carrier with the best coverage in the Thumb and nationwide, I can introduce you to what we call the Thumb Cellular Difference. Get the device you want, the plan you need, and the exceptional customer service you deserve without ever having to step foot in the store. So if you're ready for a better cellular experience, call me, Tanya Rubin, at 989-553-5282. Remember, at Thumb Cellular, we've got you covered.
You love Thumb Cellular!
Top Gun, the Thumb. Tri-County Equipment is proud to sell and service the John Deere side-by-side Gator utility vehicles. The John Deere Gator UTV is second to none. Whether it's a traditional Gator side-by-side for work or a crossover vehicle for play, our Gator UTV can comfortably seat everyone. Backed by a history of reliability, this engine was made to take on trails and serious payloads as you make the most of your lands. So take a seat, stretch your legs, and get comfortable, because the fun has only begun. The knowledgeable team at Tri-County Equipment can help you choose the Gator UTV that's the best option for your budget and needs. Stop today at Tri-County Equipment, with 11 locations serving you in Sandusky, Marlette, Bad Axe, Caro, Burton, Lapeer, Fenton, Birch Run, Saginaw, Reese, and Auburn Hills.
Tri-County Equipment, we got it all.
All right, it is playoffs underway, fully underway with all sports. Especially with high school girls volleyball. Man, what some action last week in the districts. And Mike Gallagher, Marlette Lady Red Raiders in Division 4, move on to the next round.
Yeah, the nice thing about last week was Brown City and Marlette were in separate districts, which was very nice, because now they both have the opportunity to move on, because you know, usually Marlette's Division 3 and they usually match up with Brown City in the district. I think this year it probably could have gone either way if those two played each other again, because they split during the regular season. So it was very nice to see both teams have the opportunity to bring back a district title. Brown City swept Memphis and K-Pac. And, you know, I saw him against K-Pac on Friday night, and, you know, it really wasn't even all that close. As for Marlette, you know, they had a tough matchup in the finals. They had to play Kingston. Kingston was undefeated this season. They were the Stars, the NCTL Stars champions. And Kingston took the first set from them. It was 25-16, and, you know, it seemed like Kingston had all the momentum. But, yeah. You know, credit to Marlette. You know, they talked about it after the first set, and, you know, they kind of said, you know, we're not really playing our volleyball right now. We're kind of playing Kingston's game. So, you know, great performances from Gabby Martinez and Olivia Finley, both finishing with double-digit kills. And, yeah, it was nice to see from Marlette, because they have such high expectations for this postseason run. After all the success they had last year, you know, Greater Thumb East Conference champions, district champions, and then making it to the regional finals, that's something they wanted to do again this year, and that's something that they want to surpass. They want to win a regional final this year, and they have a great opportunity to do so this year, because they'll be playing at home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're hosting the regional, the regionals, 32, yep. Division 4, so the semifinals are starting tomorrow, and it'll be Saginaw-Newville Catholic taking on Ubley, and then Marlette, Marine City, Carter Mooney. That's a good matchup right there.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, and, you know, without knowing too much about Saginaw-Newville, it would be pretty cool if we had two Greater Thumb East Conference teams in the finals.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's a team that Marlette beat twice this year. You know, not to take anything away from Ubley, because they were also a very good team in conference play this year. But I really like Marlette's chances this week. They've been playing very, very good volleyball since that loss to Brown City earlier in the season. And then for Brown City, you know, they got Rochester Hills Lutheran Northwest tomorrow night. I don't know anything about them, but I know that Brown City's playing exceptional volleyball right now. They're well coached, and unfortunately, you know, Cass City's on the other side of that bracket,
as well as Millington, and it's at Cass City hosting their own regionals.
Yeah, so you know, it's obviously Cass City probably the favorite there, but
yeah, but
you
it's still going to be a good matchup, though.
Absolutely,
regional semifinal,
yeah,
matchup.
Yeah, you know, both games should be great, and the final should be good as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm just glad we got two volleyball teams still playing. And then obviously North Branch, you know, they won the Division II district in Croswell last week pretty easily,
yeah.
Which is not very surprising. But
I would say the upside out of that was Yale winning.
Yeah, Yale beating Croslex on the opening night. That was a little bit of a surprise, but that just really tells you, man, the BWAC is it's such a good conference for volleyball, and really anybody can beat anybody other than North Branch. They're, you know, they're in their own.
Against Emily City, the score, just because it says 3-0,
right.
The score itself.
They played them tight, all three sets.
They played them tight,
Yeah, yeah, and so. Emily City, you know, gave them problems last year in the postseason. That's probably their closest match. And then, yeah, obviously, Ubley, district champions. They were up in North Huron. They beat Caseville. Caseville, pretty, you know, feel-good story this year, the Stripes champions. But, you know, Ubley just has a lot of size on their team. And
yeah, so it's Marysville against North Branch in the first round. This is hosted by Richmond High School, by the way.
Okay.
And then Warren Regina up against Orchard Lake St. Mary's. Hello. They're pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
That's in the other semifinal. And by the way, semifinals are tomorrow in the regionals. Championship games on Thursdays. Then next week, you got the quarterfinals into the state semifinals and finals, just like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a lot of work in 1 week come next week. So yeah, all coming your way. So yeah. All right. So your outlook, do we have a greater or at least a thumb or at least a coverage area team moving around? Obviously, I think it's kind of want to lean toward that North Branch team and all that.
I think North Branch is going to the state finals. I think North Branch is going to win, and I'm not really going out on a limb.
Wow.
You know, saying that, you know, I think it's not a hot take by any means.
Yeah.
You know, this is probably one of the best teams that Coach Fish has had, and he said so. You know, and this group of girls, they've been on the team for, you know, 3 or 4 years now, and this is the year. I like Marlette's chances a lot, too. You know, I really think they're the favorite in that regional.
Yep.
And, you know, you don't want to look ahead too far.
Right.
But if you look at that bracket, a lot of the teams that are ranked ahead of them in the state polls for volleyball are on the other side of the bracket. Now, obviously, you can't take anybody lightly. You know, Cardinal Mooney's been there before. You know, Ubley, you know, they're a tough team. Nouvelle, I'm not really sure. But I really like Marlette's chances. And, again, Cass City's the favorite, but I don't want to count out Brown City at all. I would love to watch that finals. I think Brown City matches up well with Cass City. I don't believe that they played each other during the regular season, but I think Brown City could come up with a game plan to, you know, battle with Cass City. But again, you know, the Red Hawks are probably moving on, and you know, they've got a great chance to go back to the finals. So. It's nice to see that we have some teams with the potential to be making it down to the state finals. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, and I remember the last time I got to go to, because, you know, I always end up with a state semifinal team somewhere.
Right.
The last time I got to see a high school girls volleyball matchup is when Brown City and, I do believe, North Branch were there
Brown City
together.
And North Branch were there
and that
together,
was back
yeah.
when Algonac lost by a touchdown or so in the state semifinal in Battle Creek. And then me and Mikey Smith said, hey, we got some time. Let's head over there. And we went over to Kellogg Arena and got to catch North Branch win a state title. So very, very cool to be able to see that. Yeah, so.
Yep. I've been down there to cover North Branch, and I was down there when USA made it to the state finals. It's a great atmosphere, great venue, and it'd be really cool if we had, you know, Marlette or, you know, Brown City maybe go back.
But, you know, we always love it, you know, when you can keep going. You know, it's a long season, but it's always cool to move on.
So, absolutely, yeah.
All right, that's our crash course on high school girls volleyball. We're going to talk cross country when we come back.
Okay.
We'll be right back here on Sportsline. Then around the 6:15 p.m. after the news and weather, we'll talk about high school football. So we got to get these girls in. We want to talk about them and cross country runners also. At the state finals at the MIS. We'll be right back here. WMIC 95.3 FM. It's Monday Thumb Sports Line.
We're turning up the heat with summer pandemonium at the AVS Tech team. Head to your nearest tech team location in Pigeon or Sandusky and fire up the level of your computer security today. The tech team has exclusive pricing on Panda Security, a leading provider of virus and malware detection and prevention in the tech industry. With Panda Security, your computer is always up to date on fighting the latest cybersecurity threats, all while running quietly in the background with no impact on your PC's performance. Bring your computer in or have the tech team install Panda Security remotely from the comfort of your home. All new Panda subscriptions also come with a $5 discount for a limited time. Don't go unprotected. Give the tech team a call today at 888-282-4943 or head to the AVS Tech Team store near you. Terms and conditions apply. The AVS Tech Team, serving the Thumbs technology needs since 2008.
Liberty Lanes in Sandusky salutes the area high school athletes for their athletic and academic accomplishments and wishes them the best. On your way to or from the game or anytime is a great time to stop at Liberty Lanes for a pizza or one of their tasty entrees. Enjoy the Friday fish specials, steak and prime rib on Saturday. Banquet facilities are available, and you can always place an order to go. 810-648-9860. 648-9860. For Liberty Lanes, West Park, Sandusky. Make wash day a breeze with the help of Croslex Laundry and Tanning, 37 Ward Street in Croswell. They feature high-efficiency washers and super hot dryers, like a 60-pound washer that washes 6 loads in a short amount of time. Turn your laundry day into laundry hour. And, of course, you can take advantage of tanning specials, too, at Croslex Laundry and Tanning, next to the railroad tracks in Croswell. Open Monday through Friday, 7 to 7, Saturday and Sunday from 7 to 6. Bonnie and Eric salute the high school football teams for their fine accomplishments and wish them the best of luck.
All right, welcome back here on Monday Thumb Sports Line. Mike Gallagher there from the San Luis County News. The issue comes out on Wednesdays, as well as the Tuscola County Advertiser on Wednesdays and Saturdays, online edition, and you can get the paper or the online edition from the Tuscola County Advertiser. Same deal with San Luis County News. My dog loves it, especially the sports section, Mike.
Yeah, I'm very glad that...
For some reason, they like the Tuscola County Advertiser. They won't deface that. I don't understand. So yeah,
that's all right.
They even come on the computer.
Yeah.
When I open the online edition for the San Luis County,
okay.
They wait until I scroll down to the sports section and then they lift that leg.
They start barking. Yeah. Yeah, they must just love Tom Gilchrist or something. I don't know.
They like his jokes. Yeah. I know that. So all right, no joke here. It's Scott Bowlesby from the Tuscola County Advertiser. Sir, how you doing?
Good. How you guys doing?
Great. Ecstatic. You got to be ecstatic about a lot of coverage area teams moving on. We'll talk football later, but we're going to talk. We're going to run right into this. Cross country took place at the Michigan International Speed. You like that? MIS. You were there. Busy man.
I was.
From Friday night and then leaving to go to MIS. Yep. Woo.
That turnaround is brutal.
And then a Michigan game.
Yeah.
Well, half of a Michigan game before I gave up and I waved the right white flag at halftime.
Well, but that's what you get for taking video and stealing signs there.
I tried, but that light show really screws with you.
Does it? Yeah. All right. Cross country, man. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, cross country. Let's stick on that. Yeah. It was fun. Great weather for it. The overcast in the morning. Runners really liked that when the sun started peeking through a little bit. So that really helped out. Course was fast. Multiple course records were set. We had a kid in D2 run like a 14 something. They had a girl run like a 16 something from Romeo, I think is where she was from. But either way, I mean, people were just flying on Saturday. And, it's funny because Mike goes down to the track and field finals last year. San Luis County sweeps up. And I go down there this year thinking, all right, I got Frankenmuth there. I got Kingston there. Like, I'm going to do well. Kingston girls, unfortunately, didn't run where they thought they were going to. They finished ninth as a team this year. Gracie Walker was their top runner. Nobody at All-State, but a team that Mike and I share, Marlette, Lily Amansky, actually got All-State, and as did, sorry if I forgot his name, Carson Burgess, I think is the kid's name, right?
Correct.
From Brown City.
Yep.
So he got All-State as well. Katie Sweeney from Ubley got All-State.
Wow.
So it took a little while for somebody from my area. I had to wait for the D3 girls, which was a second race, which seems like not that long of a time, but when you're sitting there waiting.
Mm-hmm.
Jenna Sweeney from there, from Reese, became one of the highest finishers in Reese history, at least for the last 30-some years. She finished in 15th, I believe. Way to cap off her career. Kaya Vrabel of Carroll got All-State. And then, of course, I got into Division II with Frankie Muth. I had two girls, Frankie Muth, Mary Richmond, Natalie Foltz. And my highest placer as far as team goes this year was Frankie Muth in 8th. But all around, it was just a fun day of racing. Even though our racers didn't do well, just watching the fast ones at the front, it's just amazing to watch them, those kids, and what they're able to do, and just watching them fly by you, and you're just like in awe that, you know, it's under 17 minutes for that type of race. So it's a fun thing. Cross country's a lot of people you talk to in cross country, you know, they'll tell you it's a crazy sport, and it really is, because you're watching people come by dry heaving, and you're like,
yeah,
that doesn't look like fun at all.
It's hard. It's very hard, man. I remember doing cross country hikes in the Marine carrying a pack, but we weren't running. We were kind of jogging, and that even hurt after the first mile. And we had 15 more to go that day. So yeah, it's very hard. And Lily Lemansky, by the way, plays volleyball too.
Mm-hmm.
So she's got playoff. She had playoff that week, and that can take a lot out of you, mm-hmm. you know. But then boom, you know, maybe she still had that adrenaline running there, and then you go to MIS a couple days later.
Yeah.
And you're running. So
yeah, and with Lily Lemansky, she's only been running cross country for 2 seasons. She was strictly volleyball before her junior year, so she's gotten better and better, and you know, it's starting to turn into you know, she has the potential to be running at the college level, which is pretty cool to see.
Yeah.
And it was great to see her finish off her career with a PR at MIS.
All right. Anything else to add real quick here, Scotty?
Well, I was just going to say real quick, I didn't give them props, but I didn't really say them, but Turlo Bennett from Marlette, he's come a long way as well running. He finished 50th. And then the Croslex girls, you know, I don't think they finished where they were thinking they were going to. Maybe they did. I don't know a lot about them, but I got to see them as well there. So they were out there representing. So I know there was a Deckerville kid. I missed him. When there's kids running by you and you're looking at all the jerseys, trying to figure out the colors, trying to figure out everything, they all just kind of blend in after a while unless you see your team. So
all right.
I had to apologize to Mike, but yeah.
All right, Scotty, we'll be back. We'll be right 6:15 for Kingston Football Talk.
Oh, nice.
All right, we'll be right back here in Sportsline.
Information Station, 660 WMIC AM Sandusky and 95.3 FM W237 EQ Sandusky.
All right, welcome back to Sportsline on WMIC 95.3 FM and streaming online at CNACBroadcasting.com. Click the Listen Live link, and you'll find it right there. Look at you run out and get something to eat. What?
You got me on mute, man. I made it back in time, I swear.
Did you?
Yeah.
You just
had
right
me, you had me on mute. That's a problem.
I had you on mute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's rude.
Should I have you off mute when you do your order through the drive-thru?
Right.
By the way, our longtime yearly sponsors, you got some
Dairy
DQ
Queen,
Grill
yep.
and Chill.
Yep.
Our high school football games. Shout out to the Krasinski family.
Yep. Long line in the drive-thru.
It was when I pulled in, too, at 5
always
o'clock.
Always long line, man. It's always busy up there.
Big shout out to McDonald's also, by the way.
Sure.
Yeah. We trade off. Even the T-Bell out there ringing it.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, we're back here on...
no segue for that one, huh?
Thumb Sports Line. I was thinking of one.
Yeah.
But it was pretty naughty.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I'm glad you didn't say anything, though.
Okay. Thumb Sports Line, now we're going to talk high school football.
Okay.
That's what the show's based on. So, by the way, we will see in your paper volleyball stuff, right? This
yes,
coming Wednesday?
Yes, correct. Yep.
So,
yep.
Great. I really like this music to just tail out here. All right, so you heard the results at the top of the hour of the scores, and we're going to talk about this game. You were at this game. I was at this game also.
Mm-hmm.
The Division I Region 3 championship game at Brown City on a Friday night. Kingston coming to town, and just really took it to Brown City. I mean, it was a battle. At first, you just really didn't know what the feeling was going to be. I know that Kingston, since their loss back in Week 3, to Brown City. They were very motivated, obviously,
mm-hmm.
from that loss.
Yep.
Got the win over Decker Balls in the regular season, but that one really stung. And then Adrian Lenaway Christian to end the season. That's a good game to end with. Obviously fired him up even more.
Mm-hmm.
And might have prepared him for this game.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, and, you know, like we said at the beginning of the show, just a completely different Kingston team. When we saw him play Brown City the first time around, it was a lot more spread stuff, a lot more read option, a lot more let's get Owen Corliss out on the edge and let him make a play.
Yeah.
And, you know, on Friday, I don't know if we saw Kingston go out of the I formation all night. It was Owen Corliss, Rail and Tanner James, or, you know, Tanner James in front of Rail. It didn't really matter. You know, it was a very balanced attack. I think each of them had, 16 carries, 19 carries.
Yeah.
So really balanced offense for Kingston as well. And I think a little bit of credit has to go to Owen Corliss to, you know, be willing to take that back seat, you know.
Well, somebody's got to manage that game properly.
Yes, and, you know, every time...
And he's a true quarterback back there.
And
so,
whenever Kingston needed a big play, they got it from Corliss. So
yeah.
It was really impressive. And the thing is, the way that Brown City has been winning games, you know, with, you know, power football and really tough defense, that's exactly what Kingston did against Brown City.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the Brown City defense was not bad. It was 12-0 at the beginning of the fourth quarter, but the offense just really couldn't get anything going.
Couldn't stop this time-consuming drive.
Chunk after chunk,
and then a big chunk.
The Brown City,
then a fourth-down conversion on a fourth-and-eight or a fourth-and-five that Kingston was pulling off.
Yeah, Kingston was 4-for-4 on fourth downs. And, you know, the Brown City defense, you know, they did a great job, but they were on the field for so long.
That second quarter,
they were on the field.
11:51 mark.
Yeah, you know, they were on the field for almost the whole quarter. So, yeah. You know, Kingston kind of wore them down by the end of the game. They punched in a couple touchdowns in the fourth quarter. And, you know, all the credit has to go to Kingston. And if they play like we saw them play on Friday night, they should have no problem against Martin. And I know, you know, Martin was really, really good last year. They're a little bit down this year. But, you know, that game's going to be at Kingston. And, you know, I like their chances. But, you know, it's tough to see the season come to an end for Brown City. But this was just a fantastic season. I know it probably doesn't feel like that right now, but... You go 9-0 in the regular season. You win a postseason game against Carson City Crystal. You have, you know, one of the best defenses in the Thumb, if not the best defense, when it comes to eight-player football. And, you know, just a lot to be proud of if you're Brown City, your NCTL Stars champions. It's unfortunate that this had to be a regional final game, because I think both teams have the ability to, you know, be state champions, but unfortunately, you know, they run into each other in the second round. So
okay, and big shout out to Mikey Smith, who was keeping track. We had 240 yards according to the Brown City huddle stats. 245 yards for Kingston.
Mm-hmm. All on the ground. Yeah.
All on the ground. No 0 yards passing. Scotty B, back here from the Tuscola County Advertiser. You got to be excited. Kingston moving on to the state semifinal and get the host also.
Yeah, it's exciting. You know, I wasn't sure what to expect. Going into this game, I said to you guys last week, I said, it's going to be a good game. It's going to be a battle. You know, it could be a 1-2 point game type thing. I did not expect to see Kingston pitch a shutout. I think that was probably the most impressive thing with the way that Brown City's offense has played this year. I got to see them against Mayville. They ran all over Mayville. Got to see them against Deckerville. You know, they had their way against Deckerville. They had their you know, their big plays. You know, I wouldn't say they had their way, but it was a good battle with Deckerville. And that's kind of what I thought was going to happen on Friday night between Kingston and Brown City this time around. And, you know, I was getting the scoring updates, and then I think Chris Wilcox texted me that Kingston had like a 9-minute drive. You know, and I asked Coach Jones about that yesterday, and he said, yeah, you know, we have that ability to do that. And he said something like they took over on the 10-15 yard line or something and just drove all the way down the field and just grinded it out. It took a ton of time off the clock and scored. And it's plays like that that are huge for them. And that's kind of how they were able to hang with Adrian Lenaway Christian. And then, yeah, I think that gave them, like I said, a ton of confidence in their offense right now. And I finally was able to look at the offensive numbers from Kingston. And as Mike said, you know, Corliss gives up a lot because he used to be the guy who's like, okay, Owen Corliss rushed for 250 yards and then threw for another 100 and a quarter, 150 and multiple touchdowns. Well, he ran for 108, led the team, but right behind him was Tanner James. Right there behind him as well is James Rail. So they have the three-headed monster right now in the backfield that is tough to stop. And they just change things up. And I don't know if you guys have to see different formations, but you know, they put Jenkins in at the fullback, or they put Rail in at the fullback and bring James in, or they put Corliss back there, and you know, they just kind of throw people off. And it's impressive how that offense is working right now. And that's just kind of old school Kingston football.
Scott, I kind of felt like I was having deja vu watching James Rail run the football. Was Jacob Rail, was that his cousin, brother?
That is his cousin.
Okay, yep. They look like the exact same player. And they might have even had the same jersey number.
That's a great question, actually. I'm not entirely sure. I'd have to go back and look. I think it is, though. I think he was number 30 as well. But their dads played. And Chris actually brought this up during our broadcast a couple weeks ago against Merrill, is that the first play of the game, or one of the first plays of the game, they handed off, and the way that they ran the ball, Chris is like, that's the same exact way that his dad, that's the same exact play that they ran for his dad in high school. And I asked, you know, Coach Jones about it. He's like, oh yeah, yep. That's been a long staple for Kingston football and running backs. And I said, well, you guys should name it for the Rails, because apparently they run it the best. So, you know, that's just a name over there that always steps up. There's another one coming up that's in cross country right now. I think he's a freshman. So it looks like they might have another running back coming in. But I mean, this is, you know, and real quick, back in a couple of years ago, I remember Chris Wilcox telling me, he goes, the eighth grade class is coming up. If they don't win a state title, it might be Kingston's last chance for a little while, because they're very, very talented kids. And now here we are, one step away from making it to, you know, the Upper Dome. They were like this a couple years ago, fell just short. But talking to somebody from Kingston today, they said, you know, going up to Sutton's Bay last time, I said, yeah, they're probably the better team, but we're going to go up there and give them everything we have. I feel like the shoe's on the other foot this time. I feel like we're the better team. We're hosting, and I feel like we're in a good position right now, but obviously we have to go out there and play the game. So
in the
behind Kingston.
Yeah, total yards, 39 receiving yards for Brown City, just limited to, and then according to my stats, 74, but we were off by 5, so they had 79 official yards on the ground, and that's just astounding, Mike, to keep them under 100 yards.
Well, they kept them under 100 yards, and a majority of those were from Lawson Cooper. He had a couple of big plays scrambling, but they really limited pretty much everybody else when it came to running the ball. The Kingston defense was outstanding, and it really started in the trenches, both offensively and defensively for Kingston. They got two big dudes right in the middle, and you know, they were causing problems for Brown City all night.
So Kingston 92 will take on Martin. We're very familiar with that team, who ended up being the state champions last year, formerly known as the Onion Kings, by the way.
Yeah, they should go back to that.
Yeah, I love that name. They even gave us a t-shirt. They dug some out for us, and I just have mine in my drawer now also.
It's very cool.
Martin themselves, this season, they have two losses against Bridgman and Goebbels, and they are able to avenge that 53-16 loss to Goebbels.
Wow, 53-16 they lost the first time.
And they won 28-6 in the regional.
So much like Kingston, you know, Martin is a team that's maybe doing some different things now or, you know, really turning things around. But I still like Kingston in that game.
And they also, last year, they had two losses in regular season also against Bridgman and North Point Christian. Good teams.
Yeah, North Point.
They're losing to good teams.
North Point Christian's kind of a weird one because I think their enrollment's like, it's close to 350.
They're over 300.
Yeah. So they're kind of an outlier. But yes, Martin, very good football program. And I'm thankful for Scotty that he doesn't have to make that drive to Martin on Saturday because it is very far away.
I didn't mind it because we stopped at a nice Mexican restaurant in Lansing on the way back. So last year.
Yeah, we got nice Mexican restaurants around here.
We do.
You don't have to go all the way to Kalamazoo, you know.
I'm Mexican. I know Mexican.
I know. Okay.
All right. The Kingston Cardinals, congratulations to them. Moving on to the state semifinals, back in familiar territory. This time, though, it won't be in a snowstorm, hopefully, too.
Right.
So, you know.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it, yeah.
This game will also be on Thumbtoe Getter Sports, I do believe, Channel 2.
Okay.
I do believe it is, or, yeah, because there's a couple of Saturday games, and we'll have a Friday night game also.
Yeah.
And, Scotty, you will be there reporting?
I'm going to be there covering it for the paper, just in case it's a historic day. And yeah, so I want to be there on the sidelines to get all the effects of everything. And yeah, so hopefully we can have some fun afterwards, it sounds like.
All right, so we're going to be back in a couple minutes here. We're going to keep you online because we wanted to give you our your comments on the Millington-Cass City game. You were at that game, and exciting and awesome. So we'll be right back.
From Graf Chevrolet of Sandusky, here's General Manager Sam Barnett.
We all know that prices on everything are going up, so here at Graf, we're going to help a little to ease that pain. Mention this radio ad and receive $15 off in our service department in Quick Loop. We're also getting closer to winter, where good tread on tires is essential for safe travel. Currently, receive up to $100 in rebates on select tires. Also mention this ad and receive a free multi-point vehicle inspection. This offer expires on November 15th. Call us at 810-648-9855. Set up your appointment today at Graf Chevrolet on M46 in Sandusky.
Graf family, we're making friends.
Make wash day a breeze with the help of Croslex Laundry and Tanning, 37 Ward Street in Croswell. They feature high efficiency washers and super hot dryers, like a 60 pound washer that washes 6 loads in a short amount of time. Turn your laundry day into laundry hour. And, of course, you can take advantage of tanning specials, too, at Croslex Laundry and Tanning, next to the railroad tracks in Croswell. Open Monday through Friday, 7 to 7, Saturday and Sunday from 7 to 6. Bonnie and Eric salute the high school football teams for their fine accomplishments and wish them the best of luck.
All right, welcome back to Sportsline. We will have head coach Bill Brown coming up in about 6:40 p.m. to talk about the eight-player Deckerville game. But since we have Scotty Bowlesby with us from the Tuscola County Advertiser and WIDL 92.1 FM Sports, you covered another thriller on Friday night. Man, you were a busy guy this week also.
Man.
You're still feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah. Millington.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, go ahead.
Millington Cardinals defeating the Cass City Redhawks in a classic battle. Came down to the wire, 21-20. Man, what an ending in this game. Tell me, first of all, the ending to this game and just throughout the whole game.
I'll start with the end because that was the most exciting part. Millington goes in and scores controversially, I will add. If you're watching the NFHS Network and looking at Jason Parmenter's pitchers, Ian Crump goes in for the go-ahead touchdown, the game-tying touchdown. At the time, it was 20-14 in favor of Cass City because they failed in a two-point conversion. Ian Crump goes in, tries to reach over the end zone or the goal line. Ball gets knocked out, and Cass City covers it, but the near judge puts up the touchdown signal and goes running in, and that was all she wrote. They allowed the touchdown. So we were kind of like, okay, let's see, because apparently he broke the plane before, Well, then we had a little video that we were able to see, and clearly the ball was knocked out before he broke the plane. So then they scored, got the PAT, 21-20. Kansas City goes to drive, had two timeouts, great clock management, was hitting the sideline, getting out of bounds. They were able to drive, pass interference call helped them out. They got down to about the 11-yard line, and I thought for sure, I was like, there's no way, because Tyler Kumper was playing an amazing game all game long. They just could not stop him. That kid was going up and bringing down every single pass possible from Carter Patrick. They go down a couple seconds left. I can't remember exactly. I want to say it was like 14 seconds left. Out of timeouts. They're about 11 yards out. I want to say it was like a first or second down. Kind of just loft the ball up for Kumper in the corner of the end zone and near corner. And, what's the kid's name? I can't remember off the top of my head right now. He was right there in front of Kumper, and I think Carter didn't. From the looks of it, he didn't look like he got underneath it as much as he wanted to kind of arc it more so that Kumper could go up and pull it down. And it just kind of went to it's Owen Krieger. That's who it was from Millington, and just pulls it in for the interception. And then Millington goes out and kneels it down. But you know, talking to Jason Germain after the game, he's excited about this rivalry and the years coming. Nothing but respect between the two teams. I mean, no bickering. There was chatter during the game, obviously, between players, but that's to be expected. But no bickering. They went through the handshake line. Everybody got along. And even Jason said after the game, the thing that sucked the most about this game is that someone had to lose. It was just one of those games where you just wanted them to continue playing, but then, like, at the same time, I was like, let's get this game over with, because my heart might beat out of my chest at this point, because it was just so exciting and just a fun game, a good thumb game. Kansas City, a testament to them and what they've been able to build on and how much better they've gotten as the season went on. They got thumped by Ubley just, what, 3-4 weeks ago, and then they turn around and push Millington to the limit. And it was just kudos to the coaching staff, to the players over there, great senior class going through there that are heading out now. And it was just an all-around fun game. And, I can't say enough about both squads in this game.
Yeah, you know, and again, we talked about this with Mike Gallagher here in week three, like with Kingston. They changed some things and obviously got better game by game leading up to the playoffs. And up against one of our titans of the thumb area, the Millington Cardinals. Did you see that compared to what you saw from Kansas City earlier in the season?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like they ran the ball well. They threw the ball and that's not really Kansas City's game plan. I mean, at least it wasn't before, but they were able to do it on Millington. Millington just seemed like they were just shocked. I mean, they came in there. It really got ugly right away for Millington. They forced a three and out, and then Kansas City kicks the ball, and then Millington muffs it. They jump on it. They're deep into Millington territory just like that. I mean, the table is completely turned. It was 6-0, and it was like that forever. Millington just could not get anything clicking, couldn't get anything going. Then they were able to finally get a couple things going, and it was just – It was a tight game all around. I mean, there was turnovers, there was fumbles. It was just there was ugly moments for sure as far as the ball control. But overall, it was an entertaining game. It was a good battle, and it was just one of those games that obviously if you're a fan of Millington, you're like, oof, hopefully they can clean that up before Montrose. But at the same time, it's one of those games, you even watching the NFL, a good team can have a bad game. They can nothing goes right for them. And that's kind of what happened here for Millington. But again, I don't want to give the credit to Millington screwed this game up, because Kansas City came to play. They did not shy away. I mean, they were ready to continue battling, and they gave everything they had. And, if replay was available in high school, we could be talking about Kansas City versus Montrose coming up this week.
Okay. That's who Millington has. And by the way, Ubley defeated Montrose in week 9. The chances of Millington are heavily favored in their side, but this is the playoffs. It can get crazy. Could we have another crazy game here too?
Yeah, they got a good rivalry between these two squads. It's going to be in Millington. They get the host, so that's a positive. I'm sure the Millington fans will be out there cheering them on. This rivalry in the playoffs goes back a little ways, so they know each other pretty well. So it'll be a good battle on Friday night, and I think it's one of the rare Friday night games that we have around the area for the playoffs.
Yeah, you'll be covering that game, and that game will be on what day? Now that's a Friday night game.
That'll be Friday at 7 o'clock kickoff, just like a regular Friday night. So it's kind of nice, and then I can flip over and catch Kingston on Saturday.
Great, and your pregame starts when?
6:30
on WIDL 92.1 and FM and streaming online. Scotty, I got to let you go. We got Bill Brown coming up next. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you. All right, guys. We'll see you.
All right, Scotty, be there, folks, and we'll be right back and check with the weather forecast in our commercial break, and then we'll have head coach Bill Brown of the Decatur Eagles coming up next.
Hi, this is Steve Kohler with Kohler's Propane. We've had a great summer, and I would like to thank the many volunteers who worked so hard to make our area festivals and the Sanilac County 4-H Fair a big success. Now that fall is here and the children are back in school, be sure to drive safely and watch for the youngsters as they walk to and from school. There's no question about it, it's getting colder and the furnace is clicking on during the night. And if you are a customer of Kohler's Propane, you don't have to worry about whether the furnace will click on. We've got you covered with Keep Full Delivery, our price cap programs, and our guaranteed price for one full year. If you are not a current Kohler's customer, now is the time to make sure you stay warm this winter. Contact Kohler's Propane, a locally owned company serving you for 74 years. Call 800-572-2191 or visit getkohlers.com. Remember, nobody gives you gas like Kohler's.
We're turning up the heat with summer pandemonium at the ABS Tech Team. Head to your nearest Tech Team location in Pigeon or Sandusky and fire up the level of your computer security today. The Tech Team has exclusive pricing on Panda Security, a leading provider of virus and malware detection and prevention in the tech industry. With Panda Security, your computer is always up to date on fighting the latest cybersecurity threats, all while running quietly in the background with no impact on your PC's performance. Bring your computer in or have the Tech Team install Panda Security remotely from the comfort of your home. All new Panda subscriptions also come with a $5 discount for a limited time. Don't go unprotected. Give the Tech Team a call today at 888-282-4943 or head to the ABS Tech Team store near you. Terms and conditions apply. The ABS Tech Team, serving the Thumbs technology needs since 2008.
Welcome back to Sportsline on WMIC 95.3 FM. I'm Eddie Fury, along with Mike Gallagher of the Sanilac County News, your actual host of Monday Thumb Sportsline. Pick up his Sanilac County News publication, comes out Wednesdays, online e-edition, or pick up the paper. That paper.
Mm-hmm.
Great fire starter, by the way.
Yeah. It's got a lot of uses.
For some reason, my daughter thinks it's okay to stop in and bother Daddy at work. Hello.
Hey.
There you go.
God forbid your daughter wants to see you, Eddie. I mean,
I love my daughter. She knows. You guys know I love my daughter.
Yeah. Your one daughter.
Yeah, everybody's playing.
Oh, be careful.
I got three kids.
Yeah,
now.
Be careful.
I got three kids.
Yeah.
I remember when Paul, I think, you know, when we first started, you know, kind of working together, remember, he goes, "You got two more kids?" Oh, here's about lulling your dog. Just kidding, kids out there. Yeah. All right, the Decatur Eagles, big win, 34-32 over the Portland St. Patrick Shamrocks. On the line with us is head coach Bill Brown, probably watching tape, getting ready for this next game in the state semifinals. Coach Brown, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Eddie?
Great. Mike Gallagher's with us also, and Mike, let's kick it off, man. Great win for Decatur Eagles, 34-32. Defensive battle, offensive battle also. Couldn't ask for a better game than we got on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, I think, Bill, when we were talking about this game last week, we weren't really sure what to expect because we don't know much about Portland St. Patrick. What were your guys' expectations going into the game this Saturday?
Well, I think we thought we were going to be able to move the ball on them and score. That was pretty evident, I guess, when you got through the first half. You know, I think defensively we knew they could throw the ball. We were really worried about their quarterback running. So we were able to contain him for the most part, but he threw pretty well, and we got burned a couple times, something that we got to get better at. In the second half, I really think inevitably the penalties is what killed us in the late in the third, going in the fourth. Without that, I think we're going away with a two-touchdown win probably in that game. But we were able to, you know, get the win. So that's all that matters at this time of the year, get the win. Is it the best game we played? I don't think it is. I think we got some work to do, and I think we can play better than what we just did.
Obviously, they had to change their game plan against you because Brady Leonard, the quarterback, kind of a dual threat, but more of a rushing team. They had over 2,400 yards rushing, I believe. You limited that quarterback to just 43 yards, and the team as a whole throughout the whole game, 118 yards. Pretty decent, but they're more known as over 220-plus rushing yards offensively on the ground. And then forced them to go to the air, where they had 247 yards through the air. And, Mike, that's half of what they pretty much almost got throughout the regular season, was 600 yards. There goes my daughter. See you later. Okay. Mike.
Yeah, no, the defensive effort from Deckerville was outstanding because you could tell that was a pretty dang good quarterback, only a sophomore, but, you know, he had a lot of talent. What was the game plan defensively, Coach? Were you trying to take away the run? Were you, you know, were you leaning towards stopping the pass? What was the game plan defensively?
You know, and you know, the way we are, you know, we're all my coaching staff's all brothers, you know. Mm-hmm. So they're all my best friends, so. You know, and if they're not your best, if they're not my best friend, they're my brother, literally. So, you know, Dan and Steve Blaschel had a half a game plan, and Eric Burns is in on that, and Ethan Bowerman had some things in on that. You know, they prepared, and the biggest thing was we didn't want to give up that big play for the most part, and we didn't want to see the quarterback running, and because when he gets going downhill, he scores, and he's a lot quicker than what, I mean, he's when he gets going downhill, he gets faster as he goes. So we wanted to contain that run. That's the main thing. And then we just wanted to keep him in front of us, and that was kind of philosophy. We didn't press them much. We should have maybe mixed it up a little bit more, in my opinion. Don't tell those guys that because then they'll think I'm coming at them. Then they'll think they can coach offense this week too. But maybe we should have pressed them and mixed it up a little bit here and there. But definitely, we just wanted to keep them in front of us, stop the big play. It worked for the most part, and especially in the second half and the fourth quarter. Inevitably, I mean, that's what ended up winning the game.
You leaned on, obviously, your quarterback, quarterback Garza out there. I mean, he... you're able to pull out that different type of offense than you would usually run, although it's been a running game for you guys. But I think this year you really kept the opponent's defense more honest. You did have about 86 yards passing in this game against Portland St. Patrick. Didn't have to lean on it too much, but really use the running ability of your team. Your offensive line did a heck of a job. Also, you got to give credit to Dylan Ball. Also had him be the first lead blocker because several times I'm seeing Garza follow a ball a lot, you know, when he got the carries there after the fake handoff or whatnot. But you got to be happy with it. That, you know, obviously your running game is what was very effective here, having your quarterback do that, but also able to get some key plays in the passing game also to open at that offensive playbook also. You got to be proud of what Hunter was able to do out there, you know, I guess leading the offensive.
You know, we love the I formation. We love two tights. We love that physical play in there. But when you're playing, we're undersized, and you're playing against good teams, and they're gonna hunker down on you. And even if you're in that formation, you know, that's almost a formation it should be passing, you know, 30% of the time. Just because if they want to come down with their outside backers in that 3-3 defense, you know, we got to be able to get out to the flat and throw it and make those backers pay if they want to commit to our run that much. So that's one thing. We'd love to be in the eye, but on the other hand, if we can go to that wide formation, we use Parker and Chase Lamont out in that wide formation out there. They have to go out. It kind of changes the way they're going to think. It kind of gets that outside backer thinking, hey, we still have two capable ends that can go down the field on you in David and Logan Shank. So that's a good thing to have. And again, I mean, if you look at our, we came out and, we fumbled the first play. Dylan Ball got hit at 3 yards. And, Dylan, he's running hard, and so he's going to go get three more. And he was getting it, and then the ball popped out. So we were down 6-0. And then when we came back, and then we ran counter tray with Hunter there, the kids executed, and with Hunter on the keep off to the right side. And when you not everybody gets to see this film and gets to break it down like we get kind of do, but when literally the two backers on that side are literally on their back from our end and our guard, and then the other backside backer couldn't get there because there was a lot of traffic in front of them. When you're putting backers on their back right out of the gate like that, I mean, that epitomized what was going on that game. Our offensive line did a heck of a job. You're not going to have a quarterback rush for 310 and Dylan to rush for over 100 without that kind of effort, at the offensive line. I mean, that was right there. That is what you want to see when you're an offensive coordinator or a head coach. I mean, that's effort and that's heart and that's will.
Also, I would give credit to you guys. When that fumble happened, or maybe a holding cone, all that was the poise of the team and the coaches to keep your players, out there very calm and just keep the poise and just move on to the next play. Not dwell on that last bad play.
And I think our season has been tough. I mean, we're playing Kingston's and we're playing the Brown Cities of the World. And those are tough games. I mean, and in my opinion, give or take, everybody's going to have one, but I think we're 2 plays away from beating Brown City, and we're 2 plays away from beating Kingston also. So we could very well be an undefeated team at this time. But, we learn from that, and, you just can't, that's kind of our mentality is to never give up and always push. And no matter what the score is, that's just our persona. We want you to know that we're going to come and we're going to keep coming and we're going to work hard and we don't care what the score is. So, and that's kind of just the way we kind of coach these kids and they're buying in. We got a young group and I think we're kind of seeing that and they're kind of maturing here a little bit in the last couple games.
Coach, you talked a little bit about the passing game. I think when people think of Deckerville football, they think about obviously, a running team. This year, you guys are a lot more versatile. You've thrown the ball quite a bit. You have a great quarterback in Hunter Garza. When did you make the decision to, become a more pass-oriented team? Why did you make that decision? How did you guys implement that? And have you ever had a team that has thrown the ball as much as you have this year?
Us thinking about, we know Hunter was going to have a good, he had a pretty good year last year, but a lot of that was, we dabbled in the gun a little bit, a little gun keep, and run a little bit of that wing tee or that, that a little counter tray action out of it, last year, but he was a sophomore. He had to develop a little bit, and so did our team. We were pretty young last year, but we kind of, we're going through the summer. We did a little throwing. We didn't do a lot. We didn't get in 7-on-7s. We were supposed to get in one, and then we had some kids get sick, and then we had some kid, we had one kid, maybe he hurt his ankle, So we couldn't even do a 7-on-7. So we're kind of in that aspect of it. But, when we get in the, we get in the first couple, days of practice, We got the Shanks brothers, and at the ends, and they can both catch. And then, we got Ian Flanagan at 6'3", 175, whatever he is. And then we've got Logan Martin, who comes out after taking a year off at 6'3", which is a talent. We got Parker, who literally caught a touchdown made a heck of a move against Kingston in the first round of the playoffs, right with 30 seconds left last year, to basically kind of right before halftime to kind of change the momentum against a number one ranked Kingston team.
Mm-hmm.
So we do have some tools out there and some kids that can catch the ball, and Hunter's throwing in levels, and you know, as long as he's got just getting his tech's got to get a little better. He wants to use his arm a little bit, a little too much in my opinion sometimes, but you know, sometimes he does stuff I like going, what are you doing? And the next thing you know, it's a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not coaching, by the way. I like to tell everybody that, yes, that's coaching when he's scoring touchdowns, but some of that stuff he's making a read, and he sees stuff I don't see, and he's doing some fantastic things. But you know, you going on about when we throw the ball or whatnot. I mean, you know, we got a lot of kids that can catch the ball, and we're kind of just we're just going to take what teams are going to give us. If you're going to play off us, we're going to keep hitting these little ones, and then you know, if we want to hit a post route, because everybody wants to play as cover zero, because they have to load the box up on us because of run, so our post routes are open too. So we've been able to hit a few of those, and for big plays and for wins, you know, they've won the game or changed momentum of the game and that. So that's kind of what we're getting there, and Hunter's playing at a high level right now. You're not going to do what he's been doing the last few weeks and not. And he got dinged against Mayville with a thigh bruise. So he's been, you know, we went through that 2 weeks. We got through Atherton, and then we got through Peck. So he didn't run the ball in those two games. He might have ran twice, to be honest with you. So going into round one, we're going to have to use him because, you know, you're playing Morris, and you know, we're playing the top teams in the state right now. You know, we played two of the top teams, probably the top two, five. Out of the top five, probably two of them right there, in my opinion, as far as physicality and whatnot. So playing a high level, you know, and going back, you know, back to 2000, you know, we had a guy named Ryan Palmer who's, you know, shout out to him because he graduated from Deckerville, went to Alma, went to Arizona, ends up coaching eight-man football, wins the state championship, goes to, I think, two more, but loses in the finals. So, and you know what? We talk here and there. He had a great senior year, great junior year. So when we were throwing the ball, that was prior. You know, he had a fantastic career at Deckerville throwing the ball, and he's probably similar to Hunter in that aspect, the mental toughness, hard running, and they both could throw the ball. We're kind of two different eras, really, us going back then, that's what, you know, when we know we have that, we're going to throw that. And we have to adjust to what our talent is at that level. Of course, we're always trying to push our kids to be good, throwing the ball and whatnot. But Hunter's special, just like Ryan was. And so if we got that and we got some dudes around him, you know, we're going to throw the ball and we're going to take what defenses give us. And, you know, it's kind of helped us get where we are. And who knows? You know, we're gonna play hard this week and get some big plays too this week. Playing a good Lenawee team.
Pretty special. 23 rushes, 310 yards. Had an 80-yard touchdown. Two touchdowns for Hunter Garza. Dylan Ball, 16 rushes, 106 yards, two touchdowns. And passing wise for Hunter Garza, 13-14, over 100 yards. A touchdown also. Reception and a 2-point conversion for Hunter Garza. So a credit to him. Now, the Kingston got to played in week 9, Adrian Lenawee Christian. Did you get a chance to see that game that day, Coach? I know it was on a Saturday.
No, you know, I kind of, I'm all like 100% football, and then I got to take my couple days off, but we watched a little bit of it. They're impressive. They got some kids. I mean, they got kids. I think their tight end's going to Ferris State on a full ride. They got, I think, the jet sweep kid and receiver. He's going to a Division III school. They got some kids, and they've been successful the last couple of years, especially in Division I, amen, not Division II. And let's face it, you don't see those type of kids in Class D, Division II. You know, it's not about, I think it's about us. You know, they're going to, they have their attributes. They have their, they have their talent, they got their size, but on the other hand, you know, we got some kids that they're going to will their way, and we'll play hard, and we're going to see what happens. We're going to scheme them up. Coach Boone, Coach Blashill, Coach Burns, they're going to we're going to get a scheme in there, and we'll just we'll try to execute. I think the biggest thing is not about, you know, we're not gonna beat up a kid that's going to Ferris State up too much. I mean, we're gonna fight him? Yeah, sure. we're not gonna give up on him. But I tell you what, we're gonna do is we're not gonna give up, and we're gonna hit you. So we want to execute a scheme, execute a game plan, and we also we don't want to make mistakes that they're going to take advantage of us. So they're a good enough team without us making a mistake. So we're going to have to play very well, mistake-free football, physical football, and, you know, selfless football in an end. But I think our kids they've already grasped that concept of what a team is, and you got to be disciplined and selfless. So I think we'll do that. It's just getting down there. It's a 3-hour trip. We're going to have to get off that bus, and we're going to have to hit. And if we can keep it close in the fourth, we'll see what happens. Definitely they're going to be a tough team for us to beat. But in the end, if you beat them, there's nobody left in front of you that's going to be tougher than what they are. So let's play the state championship on Saturday, and then we'll see what happens.
Ian Flanagan, will he be playing?
Well, you know, he had a broken hand versus Morris. He's going to get surgery tomorrow. Bless him.
Yeah.
What a tough kid, to be honest, you know. If we gave a game ball out Saturday, it would have been to him, because not everybody can do that, by the way. So, but what a heck of a year he's had. I mean, he's playing that middle safety for us in that 3-2. He comes down to the box. He makes tackles. We're talking about a kid that's got like, I would say he's got 80 tackles if you count a solos and assists. For a sophomore, he's got a frame and a great attitude. He put it out there.
Yeah, he made a Saturday. Big play too, and that final drive, closing drive for Portland St. Patrick. Also, he made a big key defensive play, and you know, I mean, they all did, but that was a big one too to end the drive.
Oh yeah, most definitely. I mean, we're going to have to make a few adjustments, and he's going to get surgery tomorrow, but. That kid, he epitomizes what we do. Toughness, you know.
Anything else, Mike?
That's all I got for you, Coach. Good luck this week, man. We're looking forward to coming down and watch you guys play another game.
Yeah, Coach, I'll be coming from Detroit the day after a Metallica concert, so I'll be there Saturday. We'll be covering the game on 92.5 FM and looking forward to it.
No, that's awesome, a Metallica concert. Now, the other thing is, you told me, I said something about Sportsline before the game.
Oh, there we go.
On Saturday.
There
we
go.
And here you go. Uh-huh. Here you go. I said, I wouldn't mind talking on Sportsline. And then he says, you got to win first.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to talk about motivation to win a game for us? I mean, I might have went to the next level as a football coach when you told me that. but really,
I must
appreciate what you guys do. We appreciate the coverage. Take care of our kids. It's a good time in Deckerville. Mm-hmm. And we appreciate you guys for everything you do all year. I know it's kind of sometimes it's like you know, you're doing it for like why, but we really appreciate it here in Deckerville.
Thank you, Coach.
Yeah,
thanks, Coach. Yeah, we appreciate your time, and I'm looking forward to see you Saturday. Maybe you can prove us doubters once again wrong Saturday.
I'm not doubting.
I didn't point at you.
No, I'm not doubting anybody.
I did some doubters. That's all.
Oh, is this where the
what?
They
no.
They come in and they say, Portland's where all the NCTL teams go to die or the Thumb teams go to die.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Is Adrian the same way? You go there to die? I don't know. But I'll tell you what, we're going to be there, and the Eagles are going to be there, and we're going to play hard. And we're looking pretty forward to it. And, you know, even with or without your motivation, the Eagles are going to play hard. Did you go to Deckerville? I remember. Are you alumni?
Oh, it's hard to tell sometimes, isn't it?
Me?
I'm starting to wonder.
That's what makes a great sports broadcaster. Yeah, you try to draw the line, but
You're a neutral guy. Okay.
Yeah, I'm all very right. neutral, but I do lean towards.
It's
yeah,
good for all
well,
those.
Good enough. You yeah. know what? You know what? If we go down there, we're going to go down there and win, and I want to be on – it's going to be a motivation for me. I'm going to let the kids know. If we win, I can be on Sportsline next Monday. Could I or not? I would love to be.
Yeah.
The pay is excellent.
Win or lose, Coach, I always want you on. Yeah.
The pay is excellent, for one. You know, and I do have a face for radio, by the way, if you didn't know. Yeah.
I tell you what, you make your head will make the mic shine even brighter. So yes.
All right. Hey, love you guys. Thanks for everything. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Coach.
All right. Yeah, bye bye.
All right. He knows when we're ribbing. So yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he's going to call another station. What? I don't know what happened. I have no idea what he's talking about.
I don't know. Maybe that's a conversation for off air, you know. You know, some people like to make predictions, and, you know, we talk about it a lot on Sportsline.
We don't like doing it.
You know. Everybody likes to look for bulletin board material, and I think somebody might have given Coach Brown some bulletin board material the night before the big game on Saturday.
Well,
so.
I'd like them to do it again, because maybe that's great motivation here to go in the next round. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So. Great conversation, though, right?
So, yeah. Bill's a great coach. He's been at Deckerville for over 30 years coaching. An institution up there. So, he was inducted about four or five years ago. Yeah, and you don't see that a whole lot.
No.
You know, an active coach.
No,
obviously Troy Schelke also in the Hall of Fame. He was inducted a couple years back, but Bill, he's closing in on win 250. So
wow.
That's man, pretty outstanding, yeah.
All right, and you can tune in for that game live with me and John from Thumbtail Gator Sports. He'll be doing a game also, I do believe, Friday night.
John Bisher?
No.
Oh, John Crazier.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. He'll be joining me and Adrian for Adrian Lenore Christian, hosting Deckerville Eagles for high school A-player football. Tune in this coming Saturday afternoon.
That is a 1 o'clock game.
So yep. It'll be a 12:30 noon start for us on WBGV 92.5 FM and streaming online at sandlightbroadcasting.com. We are way over. We'll be right back, folks. We've got Ubley, Almont to talk about, and then we wrap things up, right?
Okay. Want to give Bill any more motivation before we go to commercial?
We got to go to commercial.
Okay.
Sorry, I don't have any time to make my prediction.
Gary here for More Motor Sales in Caro. It's that time of year. The kids are back to school and the days are getting shorter. Pretty soon it will be hunting season, and what better way to start off the season but with a brand new F-150 or Ram truck from More Motor Sales in Caro. We have the best selection of new F-150s, Super Duties, new Ram trucks combined at one location. Hurry in today for your best selection. That's More Motor Sales just west of Caro on M81. Come see why your friends and neighbors are driving to Caro.
Tri-County Equipment is proud to sell and service the John Deere side-by-side Gator utility vehicles. The John Deere Gator UTV is second to none. Whether it's a traditional Gator side-by-side for work or a crossover vehicle for play, a Gator UTV can comfortably seat everyone. Backed by a history of reliability, this engine was made to take on trails and serious payloads as you make the most of your lands. So take a seat, stretch your legs, and get comfortable, because the fun has only begun. The knowledgeable team at Tri-County Equipment can help you choose the Gator UTV that's the best option for your budget and needs. Stop today at Tri-County Equipment, with 11 locations serving you in Sandusky, Marlette, Bad Axe, Caro, Burton, Lapeer, Fenton, Birch Run, Saginaw, Reese, and Auburn Hills.
Tri-County Equipment, we got it all.
Liberty Lanes in Sandusky salutes the area high school athletes for their athletic and academic accomplishments and wishes them the best. On your way to or from the game or anytime is a great time to stop at Liberty Lanes for a pizza or one of their tasty entrees. Enjoy the Friday fish specials, steak and prime rib on Saturday. Banquet facilities are available, and you can always place an order to go. 810-648-9860. 648-9860 for Liberty Lanes, West Park, Sandusky.
Welcome back to Monday Thumb Sports Line. Two coverage area teams left to talk about, the Almont Raiders and the Ubbly Bearcats. Mike Gallagher with me from the Santa County News. Did you enjoy your DQ?
Yeah.
What'd you order?
I got the fish sandwich.
Oh, you got the fish sandwich.
Yeah, I got some pretzel sticks, and making me feel like Doug Cole right now.
Doug Cole, why? Yeah. What?
It's a guy in WLEW.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm busy doing my game. Yeah. Kind of hard to listen at the same time.
Okay, well, yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Settle down.
I'm settled. Our coverage again. Wait, there he is. Again, 92.5 FM for Deckerville football. So it's confirmed 1 o'clock at Adrian, right?
Correct. Yep, on Saturday.
They actually have their own stadium or not?
I don't know.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah, because, you know, this past weekend we went to Portland High School because Portland St. Patrick doesn't have their own field. That's a good question.
Yeah. And then
we'll find out on Saturday.
Our last topic will be the Almont Raiders. With us is... Paul Adams, Sir Paul Adams, Sir Paul P. Adams.
The ugly expert.
Of the Huron County View. This time I got it right. I always usually do.
Deckerville hater. Get it right.
Oh,
yes, yeah.
Dude, come on.
Get it right. I don't like Deckerville. I picked against them because I don't like them.
Now let me just say, we did not mention names.
No.
And
I don't even know what he was talking
about. You don't have to mention names. You go back and listen to the tape. It's pretty clear.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to – I have to go back and listen to it now. I mean
– All right, Paul.
Well, Coach Brown said everything he said was factual. So.
Okay. Yeah.
And it was me.
But you know, you got to admit that's an incredible win, though.
It was a great win.
Yeah. So,
but what I said wasn't wrong. I said most of the time, some teams go there to lose.
Okay.
I mean, wasn't wrong. Good for Deckerville. I'm happy for him.
Peck is 0-1 against Portland St. Patrick. North Huron is 0-3 against.
0-4, aren't they?
No, they're a combined 0-4.
Oh, okay.
CPS actually beat Portland St. Patrick back in the day, but as Bill mentioned on Saturday, Deckerville is 2-0 against Portland. So.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Great
win for Deckerville.
Yeah.
All right, so we move on to Division 8 high school 11-player football. The Ubbly Bearcats will be hosting a game against Ithaca, and big Titanic matchup here. Ithaca, a lot of lineage there, Paul, but Ubbly continues to roll since the regular season and through the playoffs here. They beat their backyard rival, the Harbor Beach Pirates, in a playoff game to get to this point. And, well, again, here we are again. Exciting matchup here for the Ubbly Bearcats taking on Ithaca. And this is a prime time matchup. I mean, this is something have we ever seen this happen? Have they ever taken on Ithaca Pass? I mean, help refresh my memory.
No, this is a first ever meeting. I mean, Ithaca, you know, primarily until the last few years has been a Division VI powerhouse. But in the last 10 years or so, they've lost 150 students and they find themselves in Division VIII. There's a number of factors why Ithaca is in Division VIII. Number one, Ithaca has lost enrollment. They're at 278 enrollment. Which is down just from 2018, they're down over 100 students. So in just a short period of time, they lost 100 students. So that's a factor. Lots of teams going to eight-player football, which has, you know, really sucked a lot of teams down a division. You know, you're seeing, you know, Jackson Lumen Christie in Division 7 now. That's a Division 6, Division 5 powerhouse. So it's a number of factors that have put Ithaca in Division 8. I never thought I would see the day, but yeah, this is the first ever matchup, and you know, Ithaca is a true blue blood, man. They have 5 state championships since 2010. They had once upon a time had a 69 game winning streak. They have two state runners up in that span. So this is a program. Obviously, a lot of personnel and things have changed, but this is a program that's built on a lot of tradition over there in Ithaca. So, like you said, Eddie, this is a prime time matchup, one we never thought we'd see, but here we are, Ithaca versus Ubley for a chance to go to the state semifinals.
Ubley Bearcats, ground and pound, 303 rushing yards against Harbor Beach. Passing for 63 yards. I want to thank Clark Ramsey for sending these stats in also, as the game on radio coverage will be on WLEW this week also with Ithaca. Streaming also at Thumbtugger Sports at Channel 1 also. Harbor Beach Pirates limited to just 86 yards rushing. Had to go to the air. They had 203 yards, which is astounding. Great for them, but it just was not enough. It was 21-7 at the half, 35-7 at the third quarter. And it pretty much, you know, ball control for Ubley Bearcats, running the clock out, just using that ground game. And, you know, 7 more points for Ubley, exclamation mark. Actually, for Harbor Beach, they got a score in the fourth, making it 35-14. The game plan, they stopped the running game against Harbor Beach for the Ubley Bearcat defense. We keep forgetting to talk about the defense. We know they got the offense. That's great. But the defense is really, you know, just kept them in control of the game and get the ball right back.
Yeah, you could tell how this game was going to go for Ubley on the first two drives. The first drive goes 15 plays, 73 yards, takes pretty much the whole first quarter. Then credit to Harbor Beach. Harbor Beach answered back with a 13-play drive, drove to the red zone. Then quarterback for Harbor Beach, Caden Buholt, gets hurt. Hurts his shoulder, was down on the field for a long time. Didn't know, you know, on the sidelines, we didn't know what was going on. But they got him off the field. It was a second and long. Benson Harper comes in at quarterback, makes up almost all the long yards, but the Ubley pulled them, gets a turnover on downs. Ubley again goes 14 plays, 93 yards to go up 14-0. So you could tell from the beginning that this was going to be a different game from the first time that they met. The first time, it was 56-20, and Ubley was able to gouge that defense and get big plays. I think the biggest running play was maybe 30 yards in this game for Ubley. So everything was a lot of, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 yards a carry. Give Harbor Beach a lot of credit. They said Candon Peruski was not going to beat them. They were not going to get beat. Harbor Beach was not going to get beat by the fullback trap. And they really held Peruski in check. He had 43 yards, 12 carries, and a touchdown. But as Coach Sweeney was telling me, if you take something away from the Ubley offense, that's going to leave something else open. And that what that left open was the outside. And Ubley did a fantastic job exploiting that with Seth Maurer, who had maybe the game of his career. 189 yards, 29 carries, 3 touchdowns. I thought Luke Vollmering, who moved back to the backfield, Luke Vollmering had filled in at quarterback for the last few games as Evan Peruski was injured. But when Evan Peruski came back, Luke Vollmering went to the backfield. He had 71 yards, 12 carries, and a touchdown. But his blocking was really a factor in how Seth Maurer was able to get those yards. And then, like you said, Eddie, the ground game for Harbor Beach was held 86 yards. I told somebody going in, the only way Harbor Beach is winning this game is that they rush for 150 yards or more. They have to. Harbor Beach absolutely had to establish the ground game. And outside of that first drive where Harbor Beach did move the ball in that first drive on the ground, outside of that, rushing yards were few and far between for the Pirates, and that was really the key. You know, Harbor Beach went to the air. Caden Buholtz was fantastic. But the Ubley defense did a great job on Benson Harper. He was held to just 2 catches. Dustin Emmerich did have 4 catches for 137 yards and a touchdown. But if I'm Ubley, I'm good with Dustin Emmerich going off because you can't let Benson Harper beat you, and that's what they did. So I thought it was a fantastic game plan all the way around for Ubley, both offensively and defensively. Really kind of a throwback, a game for Ubley with that ground and pound and really just taking a lot of a lot of yards and a lot of time off the clock.
Okay, we also got a tip of the hat. A record was broken. Brett Mueller for the Ugly Bearcats. Tell me about this astounding record for high school football.
Oh, this is it's really amazing. On the fourth touchdown of the night, Seth Maurer got in from 13 yards in the third quarter, and the point after attempt by Mueller broke the all-time state record for extra points for a career. So that was Mueller's 208, and he added another one. So he is at 209 and counting. What I thought was really the most impressive about this is there's a couple things. Mueller did not kick as a freshman, came on as a sophomore. He broke that record in 10 less games than the previous record was set. So, I mean, to me, it just shows you how good this Ugly team has been. And he was so quick to credit his teammates, from his long snappers to his holders, but especially the offense. You can't kick 209 extra points unless you have an elite offense. And that's what Ugly has had over the last 3 years. But yeah, it was really quite a thing to see, just to be there. You don't always get the opportunity to see a state record set and be set at home. And, you know, really, really great accomplishment for Brett Mueller and the entire Ugly football team.
So let's go back to Ithaca. I'm looking at their stats right now. They got a well-balanced offense, over 1,800 yards passing, rushing-wise, also 1,900-plus yards rushing. They have a three-headed monster in the backfield, as well as Ugly does, but more of a passing game. I tell you what, this team, looking on paper, this could be probably one of the top. Obviously, when you get to this point in the playoffs, you're going to meet up against one of the toughest opponents. What's your feel on this game so far? I know you're just starting your homework on this also.
I've actually done a lot of homework on this, and I'll say this. You know, what stands out to me, obviously, you know, Ithaca could pass the ball, and that's going to be one thing that Ugly's going to have to contend with. But look at the first 2 weeks of the playoffs for Ithaca. 28-27 over Fowler. Down two touchdowns in that game. 29-28 against New Lothrop. Down two touchdowns in that game. Now, credit to Ithaca. This is a team, if you're Ugly and you're up two touchdowns, you better keep going, because you've already seen this team's capability of coming back. But what stands out to me is this team has failed to reach 30 points and has given up 27 and 28 over the last 2 weeks. I'm going to tell you right now, 29 points that they scored right against New Lothrop last week is not enough to beat Ugly. They are going to have to get at least 35 to 40 points to beat Ugly. I don't think that they have the defense to consistently stop Ugly. I think Ugly will be able to get defensive stops, enough of them, to win this game. I think this has the feeling of a shootout. And in a shootout, Ugly wins, because the other team has not seen that type of offense. And I think Ugly will be able to run the ball at will, get a few more stops than Ithaca will get, and I think wins this game kind of in a fashion that they beat Saginaw Nouvelle a few years back, where it was a straight-up shootout. Nouvelle would go over the top, throw a touchdown. Ugly would come back with a fullback trap and run for 70 yards. Kind of has that feel to it. If that's the way this game goes down, I like Ugly's chances, just because I don't think Ithaca can get enough stops.
Over, according to what Ugly has sent us, 3,083 rushing yards, and passing-wise, just 300 yards also. This team, you know, a little bit different positions in the back. I think in the back they've had to do because of some injuries and all that. What do you know, I guess, health-wise about the team for Ugly coming into this game?
Ugly's fully healthy as far as I know. I mean, you know, this is we're going into week 12. Everybody's banged up. They've got nicks and scrapes and bruises and whatnot. But as far as the personnel, expect everybody there. Expect everybody available. Evan Peruski will be under center. You'll have Candid Peruski, Seth Maurer, Luke Balmery, all ready to go in the backfield. The line is healthy as far as I know. And then if somebody were to go down, you've got a pretty good back waiting in the wings with Colin Ozdobkowski, who's rushed for 530 yards and 12 touchdowns this year, and he brings a speed element. So, you know, Ubley has a lot of different weapons that they can utilize out of this wing tee. But as far as I know, everybody's healthy and ready to go. And I think the extra day is going to help Ubley a little bit because that game against Harbor Beach, that was the most physical game they played all year. Harbor Beach really played a fantastic game defensively, came in with a great game plan, and they took it to Ubley, and Ubley was feeling the effects of it after the game.
So you got to have, and we talked about it earlier, about the having that special teams back pocket of points, maybe a potential field goal that would be needed. I guess if he's on the mark like he has been throughout the whole season, pretty much what, over 90 plus percent. Is he 99% at this point, Brett Mueller?
He's 94%. He is 65 of 69 this year.
You got to feel the confidence that you can have that in your back pocket also with special teams. You know how much I love special teams. If you knew that, if you knew those 3 points, you're going to get it.
Yeah, and they haven't really been in this position. You know, he's 1-for-1 on field goals this year. But more importantly than the extra points, more importantly than the ability to kick the field goal, is the fact that almost every single time that Ithaca has the ball, they're going to have to go 80 yards on the Ubley defense. And that is probably the most important thing that Brent Mueller brings to this team. He is going to kick a touchback probably 4 out of 5 times, or even maybe 5 out of 5 times, depending on what the conditions are. So every time Ithaca has the ball, you have to go 80 yards. And going 80 yards on the Ubley defense, that's not an easy task. Coach Sweeney told me after Brett Mueller set the record, he was happy for the kid, and it's a great accomplishment. But he says, you know, the 209 extra points are great, but that field position that he gives us, that is the most important thing that he brings to us. And I think that's going to come into play, because how consistently can any team go 80 yards on Ubley? We've seen that over the years. You might get some yards in the middle, but when it really comes down to the last 40 yards, that Ubley defense seems to find a way to tighten up or get that turnover. So, that's a lot of thanks to Brett Mueller for putting him in that position to give their defense a really good chance.
Quite astounding also for 5 straight district championships for the Ubley Bearcats. You got to give that credit, the coaching staff and all that. About 5 straight, quite astounding. And then, even regionals, let's throw that in there. If they can get this one, that would be, again, another record for the Ubley football team.
Yeah, this would be 5 straight regionals as well, and these would all be at home, which is, I think, really something. It tells you how good this team has been to earn 5 straight seasons in a row. They've earned 3 playoff home games. It's a rite of passage if you're at Ubley right now to end your career as a senior on Hurt Field and raise another trophy.
So, Paul, this game, you're not going to be able to make it, right?
I will not be at this game, unfortunately. Sometimes in life, family means more than even football. And my niece, Kylie Ogriski, is getting married on Saturday. So we're really, really happy about that. We're excited about that. But we will certainly be keeping an eye on this game. But for the first time that I can remember in my career, I will be missing a regional championship, but I am missing it for a really good reason. And, you got to put family first, even if it means that you're going to miss a football game. And, I'm happy to do it in this instance to watch my niece walk down the aisle and get married to the love of her life.
That's fantastic. Great decision also. So fantastic. Ithaca at Ubley, both teams 11-0. Start time at 2 p.m. kickoff. Tune in for that also on WRW Sports, and then Thumbtugger Sports at Channel 1 at thumbtugger.com. Anything for Paul there, Mike?
Nope, I think you just about covered it.
All right. Paul, thank you for contributing again. Once again, pick up or look at the issue of the Huron County View. It comes out on Thursdays, right?
Comes out on Thursday, yes.
All right, and you'll see a great write-up from this game past week.
And,
also.
And let me say, Eddie, we not only have a great write-up on this game, we have a preview of Ithaca, Ubley, state cross country, Hubley volleyball, Caseville volleyball. It's chock full with everything. We're not, it's not just football this week. It's been a fantastic couple of weeks for Huron County sports, and we're trying to squeeze it all in.
Fantastic. Good job, Paul. We appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
See you, Paul.
All right. We'll let him go there. And, hey, what do you think about that Ugly Bearcat game against Ithaca? That's a prime matchup also. We got a lot of great prime matchups for our regionals and also state semifinals. So
yeah, at this point, I don't really care who Ubley's playing. I think Ubley's going to win.
You think so?
Yeah.
I'm looking at this Ithaca stats.
Yeah, no, Ithaca, ooh, you know, they're a great team and everything. But
man, 1,800 yards passing and rushing there. So
I learned my lesson this year because, you know, I picked Marlette to beat Ubley. I picked Sandusky to beat Ubley. And I might have even picked Harbor Beach to beat Ubley. So
where did you finish in the pigskin picks?
Oh, I don't want to talk about
that.
Did
I do better than you or worse?
Oh, that's a good question. It's too bad Paul's not here to tell us because I'm sure he knows exactly where I finished. But not my best work this year.
All right, we got one more team to talk about: the Almont Raiders from the Blue Water Area Conference. We'll be right back here on Monday Thumb Sports Line on WMIC 95.3 FM, and we'll have a replay of this by tomorrow morning.
Our overnight forecast, there'll be cloudy and breezy, a few lingering showers early tonight, lows of 42 to 45. For Tuesday, mostly cloudy and breezy, high temperatures 47 to 50. And Wednesday, it'll be cloudy with showers redeveloping at a high 46 to 49. For the WMIC and WTGV 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm meteorologist John McMurray.
Hello, Mark McGarry here for More Motor Sales in Caro. It's that time of year. The kids are back to school and the days are getting shorter. Pretty soon it will be hunting season, and what better way to start off the season but with a brand new F-150 or Ram truck from More Motor Sales in Caro. We have the best selection of new F-150s, Super Duties, new Ram trucks combined at one location. Hurry in today for your best selection. That's More Motor Sales just west of Caro and M-81. Come see why your friends and neighbors are driving to Caro.
This is Tanya Rubin, sales executive at Thumb Cellular. If you're thinking of switching mobile phone carriers, consider Thumb Cellular. Now is the time to get the tailored service you need from the local company you can trust. Unlike the other carriers, we like to build lasting relationships with our customers. I will work with your busy schedule to meet and discuss how we can best serve you. As the only local cellular carrier with the best coverage in the Thumb and nationwide, I can introduce you to what we call the Thumb Cellular Difference. Get the device you want, the plan you need, and the exceptional customer service you deserve without ever having to step foot in the store. So if you're ready for a better cellular experience, call me, Tanya Rubin, at 989-553-5282. Remember, at Thumb Cellular, we've got you covered.
You love Thumb Cellular!
Welcome back to Thumb Sportsline on a Monday evening. A big shout out, first of all, to the Thumb Sports Writers Media Association participants for contributing throughout the whole season, by the way. Here we are, Mike, in approaching week 11, right?
10, 11, no.
No?
12. Week 12.
Week 12, okay.
Yeah.
We just got done with week 11. Okay.
Yeah.
Scott Bowles, we called in. Paul Adams, frequent contributor. Jonathan Bisher, also frequent contributor. Everybody else who participates by sending their reports in, scores. Jason Parmenter, you know, the pitchers, and always giving us score updates and some insight.
Yeah. Well, you got to mention Clark Ramsey, too. He's called in quite a bit this year.
Yes, who's called in from WWE Sports and consistently sends us stats and all that. So, yeah. And then our other members here on Daily Tribune. We have also our broadcast media out there, Scott Bowlesby, of course, who we just heard from earlier. in the beginning of the show from Tuscola County Advertiser. Chris Wilcox, also behind the scenes. Christian Salick, also behind the scenes also. Got to give a shout-out to Midland City Herald, also covering the games. Mm-hmm. Doing a good job out there with Nathan Marks.
He was important on Saturday, yep.
Yeah, he was, wasn't he? Yep. So a shout-out to all the folks who participate. Ben Miller, who kept us entertained in the car down there with his one-liners and zingers. And he came down with us and was happy to have him join us. So, yeah.
Yeah, you know, thank you to all the TSA
coaches,
guys.
Yeah, sending their stuff in, the assistants, you know, and all that. So
yeah, I really appreciate everybody taking the time this year to call in. I think when we first moved Sportsline to Monday night, I think that was a great decision. I think we've had some trials and tribulations trying to figure out what we wanted to do with the show, but I really think this season's been our best. Because we've had the experts on, you know, when we want to talk Ubly Harbor Beach, we're going to talk to Jonathan Bisher, Clark Ramsey, Paul Adams. When we want to hear about Cass City football or, you know, what's going on in Carroll, we're going to talk to Scott Bowlesby. And I really appreciate those guys taking the time because I know they're all very busy people.
They're actually working. They're talking to us.
And they're taking their time out to talk to us. I also know that they're all a bunch of high school sports junkies. So I know, I appreciate them calling in, but I know that they appreciate the opportunity to call in and talk about their teams. Because at the end of the day, that's what this job is all about. It's about promoting these high school athletes and, kind of getting them that recognition. So.
More importantly, we do got to thank our girlfriends, our wives, our kids, our family. They miss us during this time of the year, you know, especially football or even just year round with sports. And a blessing to them, a blessing to my wife, especially, man. I don't say it enough, but you know what she did?
You should start the show with that every single week, actually. You know,
I love my wife. Ask Sir Philip Nickel. I was slobbering all about her while I was hitting on this other chick.
Eddie.
What?
Come on.
Yeah. Hey, for the first time, he's wanted to come on the show forever. Right. Sir Philip Nickel from Thumb Chugger Sports, Channel 2. Phil, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Where are you calling in from, first of all? So
I'm actually at Deckerville. I just pulled into the gas station.
Okay, which gas station?
I'm here at the Marathon Browns.
Okay, I was going to say, it better be.
Yeah.
We just talked to Coach
Brown.
We don't
want any bulletin board material.
No, I've pulled into Browns. We're okay here.
Okay. So you have time to talk to us then about the Elmont Raider game. You were at this game. John Crazier was at this game. An exciting end to this game. The Elmont Raiders pull out a win on their home field, 40-38 in overtime, one overtime. Just a fantastic game. And tell me the ending of this game, how it got to this point, because at one point, Elmont was leading 16-8, got another touchdown in the second quarter at the half.
Yep.
It was 24-8, no scoring in the third quarter, but then, boom, Michigan Collegiate comes right back in the fourth quarter, and it ends with Elmont getting a score also to make it 32-24. But in the fourth quarter, again, another touchdown for Michigan Collegiate with their passing game, making it 32-32 in overtime. Chase Debadowski, a one-yard run, 40-32, and then a one-yard run for Warren Michigan Collegiate. But what happened in the two-point conversion?
Well, on the two-point conversion for Michigan Collegiate, it great defense, pass defense by Elmont, and broke it up last second, and it fell harmlessly incomplete, and Elmont escaped with the victory, 40-38 in overtime.
So when you were at this game at the start of the fourth quarter, did you feel like, oh, here we go, we're going to be okay?
I did, and you could sort of sense that. And really, Elmont had a few opportunities where they were received the ball deep in Collegiate territory, in the Cougar territory, and weren't able to capitalize. So the defense for Michigan Collegiate definitely stepped up. And from there, it was kind of interesting because they were down deep in the fourth quarter, up by a touchdown, them being Elmont, and they attempted a 33-yard field goal and just missed it wide left to get a two-score lead. And Michigan Collegiate marched right downfield. They could connect on big passes all night. It was hit or miss in the first half. Second half, they had it working, and they scored. Got the two-point conversion and tied it all up to go into overtime. And definitely a dynamic experience. The crowd was really into it. Super talented squad over there for Michigan Collegiate. really should have been like a semifinal or a final game, I feel like, because those two teams were just heavyweights going toe-to-toe all night long.
It's funny how it ended on the two-point conversion, needing it to go to another overtime, because that's what happened with our Deckerville game against Portland St. Patrick, slapping down the pass. And on here, it was a defensive stop also for the Almont Raiders to take this win in overtime. Looking at the stats that Jeff Boholski, God bless this guy, ever since we've covered Almont, he's consistently been sending us stuff. Passing yards, just 33 yards for the Almont Raiders, 288 rushing yards. And then you flip over to Warren Michigan Collegiate, 303 passing yards, 126 rushing yards. Also, pretty well-balanced offense there for Warren Michigan Collegiate. What was the breakdown defensively for Almont in that fourth quarter?
So in the fourth quarter, it was just they were playing a little soft as far as the defense, kind of giving them a little bit whatever they wanted to take, these little short 10- and 12-yard pass completions. And once they got down inside to about the 25, they just went for the home run in the corner of the end zone and completed. As far as receivers, like I said, very talented receivers for Collegiate. And the first half, the only reason they were down 24-8 is they kept going for home runs. They weren't trying for they weren't trying to put together drives to sustain. And they'd go three and out because they'd go for the home run ball over and over again. And credit to defensive Almont, they stepped up and would thwart that, you know, those deep balls. And that's how you ended up 24-8. And the coaching staff for Michigan Collegiate made some outstanding changes at halftime, implemented some things and adjustments, and came out, and it looked like a totally different team in the second half, because at one point it looked like Almont was just going to run away with this game, even though athletically, like I said, I think it heavily favored Warren Michigan Collegiate as far as the amount of athletes they had. But Almont, just a very good coach team, well coached, and they stayed home on defense, and everyone knew their assignments, and they played hard, and both teams just played hard right to the very end. And what an exciting finish to go to overtime. And really interesting note, that was the only two-point conversion missed all night, was that final one.
Wow.
That got away, yeah.
Yeah. Big plays, you mentioned. The second quarter, there was a 70-yard pass touchdown for Warren Michigan Collegiate to squeeze the lead from Almont, 16-8. And then they had that 33-yard TD pass, a 19-yard TD pass, and a 25-yard TD pass. Those are big plays there. That's a little bit of a worry.
Yeah, like I said, go for the home run on that 70-yard completion for that first touchdown. The receiver got behind the defense, and the quarterback hit him in stride, and by the time he got to the end zone, there was no Almont defender probably within 25 yards of him. It was something to see. He got the ball, he caught it in stride, and turned on the jets and was gone. And really, we had seen that all night before that. They were going for those big plays, and either the defense would either knock it away, or the timing would just be off, or get disrupted enough that it would not be successful. But it was definitely interesting. And as a team that came to play in the second half, or Collegiate would have been the first half team that played, it would have been a different result, I feel like. But Almont really, like I said, two powerhouses. Almont definitely deserves this victory, and it was hard fought, and that's a very, very, very good team they beat the other night.
The other key credit Almont defense, they did have an interception this game, but the penalties also hurt Warren Michigan Collegiate. They had 9 penalties, 73 yards. What were those penalties, mostly on offense or defense?
Mostly on offense, a lot of holds, because what would happen was they had a very mobile quarterback. His last name is Moore, Caleb Moore. And he would scramble, and it'd be a designed pass play, and then he decide to pull it down and run. And a lot of times when you've got, you know, so much chaos going on in there, there would be some holds and things like that. So saw quite a bit of that. A lot of pre-snap penalties too. They lined up, they being Warren Collegiate, they lined up offsides a few times, and that's what they got as far as offensive pre-snap penalties.
So you see now, Mats, how many times this season now?
That's my third time seeing Almont this season, and every time I've been super impressed. Like I said, well coached, super disciplined. And don't get me wrong, I know I've raved about Warren Collegiate's athletes, but Almont has their fair share too. That Batani kid, he's just a stud deluxe. And Chase Devendowski, the quarterback, he's a game manager and a great athlete himself. And it's no secret why they're so good. Their whole defensive backfield for Almont is amazing. Their closing speed is just, it'll take your breath away sometimes, because you'll see a seam or you'll see something in the defensive secondary and it'll close up in a hurry.
You said Batani, 131 yards, 17 rushes, a touchdown, and 3 2-point conversions. Farrakhan had 59 yards and one touchdown also, yep. And Chase Devendowski throwing a TD pass also was a key, and had a one-yard run on the ground, so yep. Credit him for that. So the Elmont Raiders, you'll be covering this game also. Coming up next for the Raiders, the lone Blue Water Area Conference team in the playoffs. They will take on Detroit Edison, and this is for the regional title in Division 6. What's your outlook in this game?
Well, you know, I've done a little bit of research and looked around, and I like Elmont in this game, and honestly, I think that they should win by a couple touchdowns in this game. I feel strongly about it. Like I said, and I'll say it over and over again, feels like that team they just faced should have been more like a semifinal or a final, because those were probably two of the best teams in the division. And everything I've read and all my research shows that, too.
They also lost to Warren Michigan Collegiate in Week 5, 16-44, so that might give a little bit of shade there for the Elmont Raiders, what they can do against the Pioneers of Detroit Edison.
Exactly, and it boils down to all the same things. You know, Elmont comes in, they've got home field advantage, execute, limit the mistakes. They should be just fine in this game. Like I said, I don't see much of a problem for Elmont, but as of course we always say, that's why they play the games. They have to come out and take care of business.
And this will be a Friday night game, Detroit Edison at Elmont Raiders at Elmont High School Friday nights. It will be on, I do believe, thumbtogeter.com. Do you know what, channel 1 or 2?
I believe we're going to fly this one on channel 2, I think.
Okay, so we're, you know, kind of keep it consistent, because I know that, you know, the majority of the games that Jonathan does is always on channel 1, so yeah, all right.
Yep, yep, and that's what we're thinking, because so far the Elmont games I've done have always been on channel 2 this season,
right.
So far.
Well, Sir Philip Nickel, I'll see you tomorrow at bowling, and hopefully we can do better, because we've been off for the last couple weeks, so...
It was a little brutal last week, but the good news is we're still in second place, and we bowl the first place team tomorrow night, We're only 5 points down, so we still got a chance.
Okay.
Yeah. And how did Eddie bowl last week, Phil?
We just ran out of time here, Phil. We just ran out of time.
I was going to say, no comment.
Okay. I will try to do better. Yes. All right. Hey, Sir Philip, I'll see you tomorrow. Thank you, sir.
All right. Sounds great. Thanks a lot, guys. Have a good night.
See you, Phil.
All right, kind of him to break away from whatever he was doing.
Yeah, that was nice of him. That's nice to have some insight on Elmont.
He's been covering the games a lot. He's covered Elmont
three times
a lot.
Now. Yeah. You know, that's
So, to a shout out to Jeff Boholski, who sends us the stats: total yards for the season for the Elmont Raiders, 3,366 total yards of offense.
It's quite a bit.
Rushing-wise, 2,985. Don't have to lean on your passing too much. This is when you want to start pulling that stuff out of your back pocket. 43 rushing touchdowns. You know, I think they're heavily favored in this game, too. You know, 381 yards passing-wise, 18 for 46 for Chase Devendowski, also the quarterback. 6 touchdowns, has 1 interception. They have to, they'll do it, you know. But they've always been known for the running game, from the wing tee to the jet sweep runs. Almost kind of like a single wing also at one point. You don't ever know what they can pull out of their back pocket. But I want to give a shout-out to James Loosby. Have not got to see him this year. Kind of disappointed in myself on that. If they can win this week, I'll see him next week, hopefully. That is if I ain't got to go up north to northern Michigan.
Right.
So, yeah. So, and you know about the BWAC. They're BWAC champions, and they're proving why they are. So, yeah. All right. Any other insight you want to give here before we wrap things up here, Mike?
I think we're good. Get out and support your local volleyball teams this week.
Yes.
And I'll see everybody at Adrian Lenaway Christian on Saturday.
Yeah, those regional semifinals are tomorrow.
Yep.
And I will catch you, of course, Saturday afternoon. Join myself. And also, John Crazier will be there with me, doing the game with me. So I'm very excited about that. Tune in for that, folks, on WBGV 92.5 FM, streaming online also at CNICBroadcasting.com also. Thank you to everybody who contributed and throughout the whole season. Thank you, Mike Gallagher.
Thank you, Eddie.
Thank you for tuning in to Sports Line on WMIC 95.3 FM. I'll post this later tonight or possibly tomorrow morning. Thank you for tuning in here and to Coach Bill Brown for calling in. And maybe we'll have some more coaches come next week if our teams win. So, yeah, looking excited.
Let's talk to Brandon Jones and Bill Brown next week about how they're going to be preparing for the state finals.
It'd be great. Okay. All right. Thank you, guys. Thank you for listening to Thumb Sports Line Radio and WMIC 95.3 FM.
Happy 65th birthday!
Cake!
Here's a book!
Here's a tie!
And here's your paperwork to fill out your Medicare supplement insurance.
No, here's a card for Grant Smith. His health insurance agency specializes in those issues dealing with Medicare.
Don't get frustrated by all the different options for Medicare supplement insurance policies. It doesn't cost a penny more to have me and my staff help you find the proper coverage to fit your needs.
Call Grant Smith today.
By the way, happy birthday.
Local news, local sports, local entertainment, faith, lifestyles, and so much more. That's what you get at BlueWaterHealthyLiving.com. Blue Water Healthy Living is an online magazine that keeps you in the know and lets you escape with their featured video shows, news, and daily articles. Blue Water Healthy Living can be the best part of your day, every day. Visit BlueWaterHealthyLiving.com. It's the online magazine that focuses on the heart and soul of the Blue Water area community.